seriously pissed off body of water, aliens among us, Spider-Man horror, and a rabid beaver. Get your minds out of the gutter now on the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. Let's go.
Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. I'm your host, Ghost Joe, back with some more creepy and unusual news and entertainment in the paranormal realm. So, in the last couple of weeks, my daughter and I had went to the Pine Bush UFO and Paranormal Fair, and we had an awesome time. It was basically just a huge street fair that all of the local businesses get involved in great fun. If you haven't visited the museum, definitely do so. It's awesome. And our very own John Wright is the tour guide there, so that's also an added bonus. Stay tuned for his segment this episode on the popular Ghost app for your iPhone. Also, before we get into the show, I wanted to wish my buddy Nat, he is going to be having some pretty serious medical procedures done soon, and I hope that he has a quick and painless recovery. Nat has been a fan of the show since I started it, and he has also contributed a bunch to it as well. So let's all wish him well, shall we? And now for some paranormal news. So in one of my earlier episodes, I spoke of a haunted lake in Long Island called Lake Ronkonkoma. But that's not the only cursed lake, it seems. Let's talk about Lake Lanier, considered one of the most haunted lakes in America. It's located near Gainesville, Georgia. It's a man-made lake built in 1956 for flood control, and it stretches over 650 miles. It's named after a 19th century Georgia poet, Sidney Lanier, whose poem, Song of the Chattahoochee, is an ode to the river. There have been over 500 deaths associated with this lake since its inception, over 200 since 1994 and 2023. And 2023 had been one of the most worst years, where 39 people died in the lake. People of all ages, from children to the elderly, have met their maker here. And it's not just ordinary drownings. Some of the deaths had some very odd circumstances, from many freak boating accidents to a 50-pound rabid beaver attacking a 12-year-old girl. She survived, by the way. This lake definitely has its secrets. Man, that's one angry beaver. Hey, we could joke, right? I mean, the kid's all right. Many claim that it has a lot to do with the construction of the lake, being that it displaced more than 1,000 people, 20 cemeteries, which still remain at the bottom of the lake, 15 businesses, and 6 churches. It's no wonder there were some seriously pissed off souls. One of the most infamous stories of that is of the Lady of the Lake. In 1958, a car with two women in it veered off into the lake near Lanier Bridge. A year later, now mind you, it says that they vanished, okay? A year later, a fisherman discovered a woman's body, which later became known as the Lady of the Lake. Fast forward to 1990, during some bridge work being done, another woman's body was found in the submerged car. So what do you guys think? Leave me a comment or call me if you've ever visited this lake. I'd love to hear about it. 845-600-0744. And now for some out-of-this-world news. So the brightest minds in the world, Harvard researchers, wrote a paper claiming that there may be hidden UFO alien civilizations right here on Earth. I mean, we've heard this theory before, but this is coming from Harvard, guys. From this paper written by Harvard researchers and Montana Technological University, they speculate that UFOs, UAPs, could be living underground, on the moon, or even walking among us. Now it all makes sense about all the crazy people I've met in my life. The paper presents the possibility of cryptoterrestrials as an explanation for all the UFO sightings recently. The theories proposed in their papers are as follows. a remnant form of ancient civilizations remains on Earth. An intelligent species evolved separately from humans and now stays hidden. Crypto-terrestrials traveled from another time period or planet, or the unidentified creatures are of supernatural origin, likened to earthbound angels. They also suggest that they may be living in some sighting hotspots like under lakes and volcanoes. You know, we haven't explored a lot of our, you know, underwater, so you never know what could be under there. The researchers acknowledge the extraordinary nature of their claims, saying in part, "We entertain them here because some aspects of UAPs are strange enough that they seem to call for unconventional explanations." I mean, I think this is pretty crazy. I mean, we've all heard these, you know, these speculations before, but never from Harvard, you know? So I think it's pretty cool that some of the brightest minds in the world are getting in on this. So what do you guys think?
Horrible Reviews with Engrave David.
With great horror, I assume no responsibility. All right, Graveslingers, you might just find yourselves alone in the dark, walking the city streets, and you might just catch a glimpse and find yourself trapped in the murderous web of the hell-raising Edgegraver Man. Guys, it's no secret that what I'm talking about is Spider-Man. Now, what you might be thinking to yourselves is, what the hell does that have to do with horror? Well, I'm going to tell you. Some of the fondest, earliest memories that we have from childhood sticks with us and help us build a character into the beasts that we are today. And in the outskirts of the Edgegrave Dave Boneyard lies just that element. You know, thinking back, the way that a lot of us got into horror are from some of the toys, comics, and even video games that we had when we were kids. And Spider-Man is no exception. This review came about when I was aware, all of a sudden, it's Columbia Pictures' 100th anniversary, and Sony is celebrating it in big style with something that they call Spider-Man Mondays. Now, what are Spider-Man Mondays, you ask? Well, I am doing an incredible feat as I do take a break every now and again from watching the super scary stuff or spooky stuff. And I was made aware that April 15th to June 3rd of this year, Sony Pictures is releasing every live action Spider-Man film. And for me, and also to show some of the members of my family that have not seen these films, I thought that this was quite the opportunity. We're talking all the way from 2002's Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, which started the Sam Raimi trilogy, going into the Andrew Garfield movies, and then going into the Tom Holland current MCU movies that we have now. Now, this isn't a topic that I normally talk about, but I think that it's worth mentioning that from the internet in general, here are some of the scariest moments and elements from the Spider-Man films. And this has been a really crazy journey. I have seen every single Spider-Man film released back in the theaters on a Monday or a Tuesday, with the exception of the Andrew Garfield movies, just because I didn't have a chance, but I watched them at home. And my journey is about to come to an end with Spider-Man No Way Home. But we both know that where the journey dies, we now have an afterlife, and that's where the horror is going to set in. So here we go. Let's sling away. It's no secret that Spider-Man is one of the most iconic superheroes that ever has existed. Starting with Amazing Fantasy number 15 back in 1962, man, Spider-Man was born. And Marvel really became a rival in the comic world and then became one of the leaders. And in my opinion, that's when they really started to face off with a rival with DC Comics. I mean, it's tough to imagine walking into a store
and not finding anything that's Spider-Man or now Marvel related. I mean, sure, there is a lot of oversaturation, and there's no doubt about that. To be honest with you, as much as I enjoy watching these movies and now with my kids, I mean, there's just so many of them that try to find a year that there isn't a Marvel film from 2008 on. It's just unbelievable. To be honest, I'm glad that they're kind of slowing things down a little bit. And if I'm correct about this, the only film coming out in this year of 2024 is Deadpool and Wolverine. But sticking with Spider-Man here, these are some of the scariest moments that watching these films that I actually noticed. The first one that I want to talk about, guys, let's talk about some people's most favorite villain here, Venom. This symbiote is an alien that, as many of you know, was actually a costume to Spider-Man first, and then he joined up with Eddie Brock, who worked for the Daily Bugle. The way that he has been portrayed in both the Spider-Man 3 film by Sam Raimi, the last of the trilogy, with the same man who created the Evil Dead, and then from the Venom films that Sony has also put out, it's just been a real twisted nightmare. And they always seem to dip into the horror space. The teeth, the way it's like blood dripping slime, the way that his body contorts and how he's always eating people. I mean, he really is a lethal protector. And the way that he's been portrayed, and also coming after Spider-Man in his sleep in Spider-Man 3, that was a really chilling scene. One thing that I hadn't seen it in a little while, Harry's transformation was absolute horror in The Amazing Spider-Man 2. It's really tough because I did like James Franco within the Spider-Man films 1 through 3, the Sam Raimi trilogy, but the way that he transformed in The Amazing Spider-Man 2, you see his father, and you know that there's a problem where he was a monster. The way that his skin started to change, and it was all slimy, and parts of his body were changing and getting all decrepit, really reminded me of The Fly, to be honest. And that is one of the few movies that still makes me shudder to this day. I'll have to talk about that someday as well. What I just marvelously realized is that I never issued an Edgegrave Dave spoiler alert warning. Well, when it comes to this topic, I think almost every single thing is a spoiler. But what I really don't want to spoil if you haven't seen it was the Avengers Endgame. Now, if you haven't seen Avengers Endgame, to be honest, I would be a little surprised as it's been a few years, but we're still feeling the effects. And there are some horror elements there too, where Thanos just wiping out half of the world's population in Infinity War and just turning to ashes. And then to be reminded about that in Spider-Man Far From Home from 2019, that to me is just an incredible thing to show little kids. I mean, just trying to wrap my head around, hey, let's go see like a superhero flick. There were such tremendous emotional elements in those movies, and just murder and death and what they're dealing with. I would have loved if there was an R-rated cut, but we all know that that couldn't happen. But getting back into Spider-Man Far From Home was supposed to be the healing process from that movie. As we all know very well, Tony Stark, aka Iron Man, died fighting Thanos. And when he did the snap and everybody that he wiped out returns, Tony Stark, unfortunately, did not make it. And there's also a lot of mixed feelings about should he come back? You know, could we do a multiverse type thing? I'm actually very torn about that. He's one of my favorites, and I thought Robert Downey Jr. did a tremendous job. But in Spider-Man Far From Home, Mysterio, that character, has a nightmare sequence where he brings back a zombified version of Iron Man. And I remember seeing this in the movies. If I'm not mistaken, I saw this in IMAX. And the way that you see him rising from his grave, there is actually a graveyard. He comes up and you see skeletal parts of his helmet. You see cracks through it. And you just see parts of his corpse. It was extremely creepy. And then he starts chasing Spider-Man. And Peter Parker had the inability to become a hero at that time and being blamed for it. That was a very, very scary scene. And then there were these elementals that Mysterio was showing to everybody. I mean, this water monster, fire monster. It actually brought me back to some of the old Japanese films like Godzilla and giant monster films like that. King Kong, I mean, the elements are all absolutely there. Let's talk about something else. And the fact that I love Sam Raimi so much for the Evil Dead movies, when Doc Ock got his powers in Spider-Man 2 in 2004, there's a hospital scene. And some of the jump scare elements and the way that they showed it, there was a massacre. It truly is one of the scariest moments in the Spider-Man films. In the Andrew Garfield, The Amazing Spider-Man, the Lizard was actually a very terrifying character. The reason for it is kind of sad, as he was born with a deformity and the spiders can give him a serum to heal himself. And then suddenly, and also very the fly type fashion, he starts transforming into a gruesome lizard. And again, just thinking about this for kids sometimes, it's just unbelievable that you don't really think about this stuff when you're kids. You just think about it, okay, it's a villain. Spider-Man's going to fight him. And all of the horror and many little scares that has been lended from the horror community. If it wasn't for the Evil Dead films, I don't believe that Sam Raimi would have had the same success he would have had with the original Spider-Man trilogy. And let's not forget about Bruce Campbell and some of his Ash-like moments, which I just thought was just great. I mean, it's just always great seeing him. Let's also talk about the Green Goblin from the original Spider-Man movie, the first one in 2002, another Sam Raimi movie. He wanted to have a murderous rampage, and he differed a little bit from The Amazing Spider-Man 2 with Andrew Garfield. Like I said, that was creepy with the way that he transformed into him. My only gripe about it is that you didn't see enough of the villain in that one, but man, what a way to kick off the live-action films with the Green Goblin, where even though it's just a costume and the face doesn't make any expressions, I mean, Mr. Osborn was just going so crazy with almost like psycho, like Norman Bates type scenes where he was himself and then he was the Green Goblin and he was having this real fit within himself. And really, any time that these villains terrorize anybody, in my opinion, it really does lend himself to horror. And in Spider-Man 3, the Sandman screamed in horror when he became the Sandman in that giant sand pit. I mean, they want to try to scare you in certain ways so that when the good guys save the day, Spider-Man and other superheroes, you feel all lighthearted inside. One other note about Venom. Venom also helped to create Carnage. And Carnage is just an absolute sick character because of the criminal that he really is in Cletus. It's just amazing to me how mainstream and how used to seeing these characters that we are as kids and then as adults. And then when you turn it on and your little kids have their Spider-Man balloons and their activity books and his games and there's all kinds of cutesy like Spider-Man and his amazing friends. And then you put on this movie, you start hearing a little cries of mama and some tears and kids that want to close their eyes. Although that didn't exactly happen with my kids, I will tell you that there were some moments where my little four-year-old had come downstairs and he could not believe what he had seen. So there you have it. And I really don't think that the movies are going to stop there. You know, every director, producer, and writer has their own take on these movies and to get that PG-13 rating. I mean, think about it. Everybody from Sam Raimi to little notes of slasher films, of psychological films, all these things prepare our youth in a way that they don't even realize that when they get a little bit braver, that they can maybe not cover their eyes and they could do it. And then they watch a pure horror film. They are trained that, you know what? They've seen a couple of creepy things before, almost in a very Tim Burton type way. And maybe one day I will talk about the Tim Burton Batman films, because that has a lot of horror in and of itself. So these are definitely films that you can enjoy. It's an absolute epic journey that we've been from 2002 and now it's 2024. That movies and continuations and all sorts of connections are still happening. Some of it might be a little bit much, but there is definitely a lot of entertainment value in it, and it spans generations. So the next time that you might go to your local comic shop and look at a comic, I want you to think about something. Which one of these books is a young reader going to possibly become a future horror fan from, and what might scare them and what might make them brave enough not to look away? So I hope you guys enjoyed. This was a little bit different. My regards to Ghost Joe, and have a good one out there in the horrorverse. Edgegrave slinging away. Later.
Thank you, Edgegrave, for that awesome you know, different way of looking at these films. I actually didn't know which way you were going with this when I first heard it. You know, I thought maybe I missed some kind of, you know, silly horror adaption of Spider-Man. There might be one out there, who knows? But that's what I thought at first, you know, like it was going to be like one of these, you know, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey things, or the new one that's coming out, the Steamboat Willie thing, which one of our favorite actors, David Howard Thornton, is going to be playing the villain, who, of course, is Art the Clown, one of our favorite guys at the moment. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. And the new Terrifier 3 that's coming out in October. That is going to be awesome. So let's get on to some Cryptid Corner. All right, so now let's talk some Cryptid Corner, shall we? So today we are going to talk about maybe not the scariest of cryptids, but I know where I first heard the name of the jackalope. I know I had first heard of this cryptid from the 90s TV show America's Funniest People, hosted by Full House's Dave Coulier. It was kind of a, you know, camera, you know, home movie, funny show, just like America's Funniest Home Videos. You know, basically the exact same thing, hosted by another Full House guy, Bob Saget. He used to have a skit in between viewer submissions. And of course, you know, in typical Joey Gladstone fashion, he voiced the character also. So the jackalope, AKA the warrior rabbit, gets its name from being referred to as being a jackrabbit and antelope hybrid. It basically looks like a large rabbit with deer antlers. They are said to be very shy and can run up to 90 miles an hour. They can also imitate any sound, including the human voice. It uses this ability as a defense mechanism. The first sighting was in the town of Douglas, Wyoming, which declared itself as the jackalope capital of America. They even have a statue of it in their town square and host a holiday for them. But they have also been spotted in Colorado and Nebraska. In some cases, people have seen herds of them running in Washington state parks, but are advised to stay away from them because they can get aggressive. They mainly eat dandelions, huckleberries, hot dogs, and s'mores, and come out of hibernation around early spring. The very first sighting was supposedly on April 1st, 1829. Yeah, I know, it's April Fool's Day, right? Probably not in 1829, though. By one of the first people in the settlement, John Coulter. I couldn't find much more than that, sadly, but that's what I found. There was a recent sighting of the creature in 2016, as well as sporadically throughout the years. The best way to catch one is to leave some whiskey out, and they will drink it and get wasted enough for you to catch it. Sounds like me. The Washington State Parks Foundation had said that if you encounter an aggressive jackalope, to quickly fall to the ground, remain calm, and hum the Roy Rogers song, Happy Trails to You. Oh, also, some party poopers say it could just be a jackrabbit infected with Shoah papillomavirus, which would cause antlers to grow on the rabbit's head as a deformity. Some also say that it was a hoax created by Douglas Herrick and his brother Ralph. After returning home from a hunting trip, they took their jackrabbit carcass and threw it on the table. It just so happened to land right near deer antlers, giving the brothers the idea to combine and taxidermy the creature. I don't know. I think the other story is more believable. Also, if you want to try to hunt for the jackalope, you can get a jackalope hunting license in Douglas, Wyoming, but the qualifications are that you cannot have an IQ greater than 72. That's right, I said greater than 72, and you are only permitted to hunt for them on July 31st between the hours of 12 a.m. and 2 a.m. This one is entitled, I Saw Something in My Church as a Kid. When I was around the age of 6, my mom started to clean our church every week to help out. During this time, we were renting a farmhouse where me and my two older brothers experienced quite a few paranormal events, but my parents never gave it the light of day due to them being very Christian and conservative. One day, my mom was cleaning the church, and my brothers and I tagged along since my dad was working. While my mother cleaned, we decided to play and play hide and seek since the church was empty. Eventually, I was the seeker looking for my brother, and I remember walking down the long hallway. Since the church was closed and my mom was just cleaning the room where the sermons were held, all of the other lights were off except for emergency lights. When I was walking in the very dim hall, for some reason, I felt the need to look up. And from that moment, I can't get the image of what I saw out of my head. There was an all-black figure around the size of a 6 or 7-year-old. The figure was crawling on the ceiling, so I was looking at its back, only it had noticed me, so it had twisted its head all the way around to see me. The face was blurry since it was dark, but I could make out an almost cartoonish smile staring at me. And I remember its eyes being not human-like at all. The weird thing about this is, despite how creepy I remember the figure being, my 6-year-old self was not scared at all. I remember thinking to myself, how did my brother get up there? Then I felt the need to leave the hallway. When I saw its face, I didn't feel my stomach drop, nor did I feel scared or threatened. It just felt like whatever I saw wanted me to just move along. To this day, I don't have any idea what it was. My brothers called me crazy and said there can't be any demons in a church since it's protected by God, and my parents agreed. The older I get, the more I wonder if it was just a dream that I made myself into a memory. It just feels so real when I think about it, and I'm able to describe it in such great detail. I don't really remember any other times we played hide and seek, but this one sticks out. I know children are more likely to have paranormal experiences, and my brothers also had things happen to them, but it was at the house. Why did I see something at our church? After doing some research, I found out that the church had been around since 1873, and like I remember, there is a cemetery on the land, and well, with the same name as the church, actually. Just so you know, it's not actually called a cemetery if it's attached to a church. It's called a graveyard. A cemetery is graves that are not attached to a church. Doon, 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 doon. Anyway, I'm happy to talk about some of the other things that happened in the house, but I don't remember much. Only the things my brothers have told me. The house was very old and in the middle of nowhere. It was an old farmhouse that somehow purchased and was renovated. The barn was a no-no zone and gave us all the creeps. The cows on the land acted very strange, and the house was had very weird vibes all together. So what do you guys think? Do you think that there's a way that a demonic entity could manifest itself in a church? I don't know. I'm not a very religious person, but this person seems to think so. So, yeah, thank you for the I read it on Reddit, buddy.
Good evening. You are entering a dimension where up is down, good is evil, and day is night. You've just made a wrong turn into the right headspace.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? It's been a while. I apologize. I've been real busy with coaching between indoor, going right into outdoor. Had the kids qualify for nationals for indoor. I had like a grand total of 36 hours between indoor and outdoor seasons. And we've just been going nonstop since that time. And now I got kids that have made it to, I got 8 kids that made it to the state championships. And then I also have 4 of those kids make it to nationals. So I've been real busy. And now what I'm working on is just a real quick review of the Ghost Tube app. So the Ghost Tube app is made by Ghost Tube Party Limited. The version I played around with was 5.5.7. And it does offer several different applications. You have Ghost Tube, you have Ghost Tube Seer, Ghost Tube Vox, and Ghost Tube SLS. As far as the one that I did, there were a number of different features. I know the majority of the features were locked behind like a paywall. There was one thing where you were in the main screen where you could kind of slide left and it allowed you to flip through a couple different types of screens. Like one was regular, one was like a green screen, one had a purplish color, one was like a gray cartoonish color. The other was supposed to be a thermal, not really a thermal, and then the other was a night vision. Another feature that it offered was the EMF detector. From there, it also has like a dictionary of a number of different words that are captured by Ghost Tube. And one of the unique features that it actually timestamp most of this stuff. You can turn the camera on, you can turn the camera off. You can record and save small videos and some audio. The other thing was you could flip the camera view. You could change the layout of the screen. You could change the language. You could turn your flashlight on and off. So there's some really neat features to it. As far as positives are concerned, it's got a lot of features in one app with additional different things, like I said, behind a paywall. You have the EMF seems to work well, but needs to be close to the source, like within like 1 or 2 inches. It does allow you to change languages, so I do view that as kind of like a positive. As far as negatives are concerned, the dictionary seems to be real limited. I can tell you that when I used it, I did not get direct answers to questions. A lot of the stuff seemed really random in regard to the type of situation that I was in and the type of things that I was asking. Uses a lot of common words and phrases, things that I thought were really generic, like, I don't know, hot. Seemed to get the term angel, the term Angela, or cold, different things that, you know, people would have in their minds as far as what they think would potentially be going on in the spirit world. I noticed that the thermal and the IR are basically color-based. Not really an IR, not really a thermal. It does have that sort of coloring to give it that idea that it is, but it really doesn't. It does not work in the same way as a FLIR or an IR camera would. The last thing I thought was, it's a good concept, but again, they're in the market to try and make money off of this thing. So it's limited as far as what you could do with it, as far as recording time, the ability to use some of the different filters and features. You had to pay extra in order to do that. In the end, I don't know, it's kind of up to you as the user. I would always say that you got to keep it in mind that these things are created more for entertainment purposes than they are for actual study. If you are going to do actual study, then I would suggest you go out and get separate pieces of equipment that you would be able to use, like a tri-field meter or EMF detector, something separate, and separate cameras, separate recorders, so it's not all on one device and those things are actually doing what they're supposed to do. So for right now, that's it for me. Once the season is over, then I can get back into the swing of maybe doing some longer segments. Thanks a lot, Joe. Back to you.
Thank you, my friend, for that awesome segment. Yeah, I'm not sure about the ghost apps. You know, I've tried them. I still try them quite often, and I get very let down with the results. But there was one time, I think I might have said it on the show, there was one time when I had it on and I was talking to one of my friends, Dave, and it was coming up with some really, really crazy, crazy things that, you know, like things like his middle name and, you know, a prior relationship that he had, and just very, very personal things that was coming up on my ghost app when I was talking to him on the phone. So it was very strange. There was definitely something manipulating that program, I believe, whether it was a ghost or a hacker, I can't tell you, but it was definitely creepy. But that was really the only time, other than maybe another time when I was sitting outside of my place of work, and you know, I work in with inmates and stuff, and it had said wrongfully accused former inmate and stuff like that. So I do believe that sometimes something does grab a hold of it and talks through it, but I don't see that happening often, maybe unless you're very, very spiritual or you do something to manipulate it yourself. But I'm not really certain how that works. If any of you know how to do it and have had some successes with it, please let me know, because I would really like to test it out myself. Give me a call at 845-600-0744 and leave me a message, or you could email me at ghostshowny@gmail.com.
This is Haunted eBay. Happy bidding, kiddies.
Yes, sir. Let's get into some Haunted eBay, shall we? So this one is Haunted Items Assortment, Recovered from House Fire. Entity spirit attached, and it's going for $59.59. You could pick it up at Spartanburg, South Carolina. Unveil the eerie history of a forgotten era with the unique assortment of haunted items discovered on a property in Georgia where a house tragically burned down in the late 1980s. Each item holds a mysterious and chilling aura, making this collection a must-have for paranormal enthusiasts and collectors of the supernatural. These items were personally dug up on the property using metal detectors and dowsing rods, ensuring their authenticity and direct connection to the tragic events. Items included Pony Boy Cap Gun. It's missing a handle. The vintage cap gun, once a beloved toy, was found amidst the ashes. The handle is missing, adding to its mystique and the questions surrounding its past. Number two, exterior water spout. Salvaged from the ruins, the water spout once channeled rainwater from the roof. Its weathered appearance and unexplained presence evoke a sense of nostalgia and mystery. Number three, a 1986 quarter with unusual features. This coin defies explanation, covered in a thick patina, except for the eyes, which remain eerily white. On the reverse side, the eagle's talons hold an object that is inexplicably red, adding to the coin's unsettling nature. Given the violent and tragic nature of the fatal fire that consumed the house, it is believed that these items could be imbued with the lingering spirits of those who perished. The unsettling characteristics of each piece hint at a supernatural presence, offering a rare and chilling opportunity for those brave enough to explore the paranormal possibilities. Okay. On to the next one. Real haunted demonic doll with case. Look at pictures, very active. It's going for $96, coming from Delhi, India. Black Death Curse Guru doll creates great pain, anguish, and torture in others. 100% guaranteed. Authentic Goodoo dolls. These figures are crafted by Papa Crow, a powerful Boker Goodoo practitioner with a lifetime of experience. We'll have to go over Goodoo because I'm not really sure about that, what it is. This is not a mass-produced souvenir or toy-like, so many tourists purchase online or on a trip to the New Orleans French Quarter. All of the Goodoo dolls offered, though, through Full Moon Magic Shop are authentic. Powerful magic, one-of-a-kind, handmade creations. This one is packed with a Goodoo suffering energy for you to release. The Goodoo doll shall be crafted for you with a powerful method, which will allow you to cause your enemy to experience suffering, anguish, mental torture, and physical pain. Caution. This is a very powerful Goodoo artifact. Once put into motion, it is very difficult to stop. Do not even think of using this Goodoo doll if you had a fight and broke up with your boyfriend or girlfriend, or someone old, some trivial lie to you. Someone told some trivial lie to you. This stunning doll should only be unleashed on those evil people truly deserving a dose of their own medicine. You have been warned, and I cannot accept any responsibility for anything, but you will accept $96 for anything that happens to your intended curse recipient. This work shall be cast into the doll in a Goodoo ritual performed by you and written by Papa Crow, especially for you, and tailored to your needs, goals, and desires. You shall use as directed to release all desired result of the doll. What can this work to do? Has someone done some great evil to you and they deserve justice? This, I feel like I'm reading one of those really bad lawyer commercials. Let me do it like that. Has someone done something great? Well, hold on. Let me start over. Has someone done some great evil to you and they deserve justice? This work can cause them to experience suffering beyond what they would have ever thought possible. Extreme mental anguish and crippling paranoia. A series of setbacks and failures in their personal and professional lives. Terrifying nightmares that rob them of any decent sleep. Friends betray them and they feel distant, alone. They will actually suffer intense physical pain and health worries. Be sure this is what you want and you will watch them fall apart right before your very eyes. Warning, this is not a toy nor a souvenir. Follow all the instructions strictly. This is a genuine Goodoo doll crafted by a real voodoo Bokor, a Hungan voodoo priest that dares to delve into the darker side of magic. It carries great power. If you, by any chance, if you are fearful of the supernatural or uncomfortable with real magic, it would be good for you to not order this doll. Clients have reported great success in cursing others with these figures, but also many who failed to handle the power correctly have themselves experienced strange and powerful manifestations of paranormal activity had been reported. Lights have been said to flicker, hearts to race. The dolls often seem to disappear and reappear on their own. Several times, folks have had the dolls move in their hands and they have experienced mysterious chills and strange visions. These are real Goodoo dolls, ladies and gentlemen. Papa Goodoo dolls are crafted in the traditional method using all natural materials, stuffed with Spanish moss and decorated with human attributes. This doll is more of a work of art than a toy. Clothing is meticulously wound around the moss framework, eyes hand-painted onto the head, and small details added to personalize. Every doll is absolutely unique. All of this before the work is even began to be cast. Your Goodoo doll will be unlike any other. Papa loves to personalize these Goodoo dolls for your own situation. Papa has given me the revenge that I have always wanted. He lost his job, ended up with the flu, and his girlfriend left him after he found out she was cheating on him. He got what he deserved. I mean, all that kind of sounds pretty normal bad luck to me, but I mean, whatever. If you want to pay $96 to try and curse somebody, I guess there you go. There's your reason. But I probably would advise against it. Remember, if you happen to purchase any of these items, The Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast and Ghost Joe are not responsible for any supernatural things that may or may not happen as a result of purchasing. So bid at your own risk. And that's going to do it for me, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the show, and please tell your friends and family if you think they would like this sort of show. Remember to check me out on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and now on YouTube. I have a lot of things planned, so please stick around, and I'll talk to you guys next time. Later! Thank you for listening to the Warped Reality Podcast, and thank you to all my guests and contributors that help make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warpedrealitypodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or warpedrealitypodcast.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your shorts.